You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. Some sunshine for a change in downtown Madison. Hopefully you're seeing some sunshine where you're at, too, as we try to dry things out from all of this week's past weather. We'll get into more of that throughout the morning, give you a little update on what we can expect. And then, of course, we'll talk to our own Stu Waddles, who is the reporter from WAUK, to tell us the latest in the Milwaukee area. That's coming up at 8:30 this morning. But in the meantime, Brian, we've got some headlines that we have to cover this morning.
Yep, we have some things happening overseas as usual right now. Pete Hegseth and General Dean Cain or Dan Cain, Dean Cain, Superman is giving. Yes, no. Pete Hegseth and General Dan Cain are giving a briefing, the first one since we've instituted our blockade on Iran's ports. So we'll keep an eye on that. But in other war news, Pakistan's army chief met Wednesday in Tehran with Iran's foreign minister in the latest diplomatic move to ease tensions in the Middle East and arrange a second round of negotiations between the United States and Iran after almost 7 weeks of war.
I will mention this morning, too, before I get into this next headline, there is, as you mentioned, that press briefing. Pete Hegseth this morning warning Iran, we're watching you. It's almost like there's the Rockwell song from the 1980s. Somebody's watching you. At any rate, the U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent warned yesterday that the U.S. is preparing to ramp up economic pain on Iran by levying secondary sanctions on financial institutions that do business with the Middle Eastern nation. Bessent called the measure the financial equivalent of a bombing campaign. Doesn't feel like the rhetoric is tampering down in any sort of way.
No, it doesn't sound ceasefiry at all. It sounds like continual fiery. The Israeli military killed 4 Lebanese rescue workers and wounded 6 others in 3 consecutive targeted strikes yesterday. Paramedic groups said a stark illustration of the human cost of the Israeli military campaign against Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, a day after the two countries held historic talks in Washington. So I'm confused. Maybe I'm not a diplomat, so I'll probably be sent over to negotiate because that seems to be the criteria for our diplomats. But it doesn't seem like when you're having talks, you should be bombing still.
Right.
It's less of an incentive in my world to negotiate in good faith.
And come to the table? Yeah.
Yeah, to make any concessions, to reach a compromise. Hey, maybe stop bombing me for a second so I can think.
And I think this is the point of the morning where we rightfully point out that this war started during the first round of talks. While those talks were ongoing and they were trying to come to some sort of negotiation, the president of the United States decided to attack Iran. So
We still have to figure out what Netanyahu said
yes
to Trump to get him to acquiesce to this, to get him to decide. Because all reports say that Netanyahu had gone to our last 3 presidents other than Trump in the first term and tried to get the same thing to happen. And all those presidents said no.
Yeah.
So that would be Republican presidents and Democratic presidents all said no. So what did he say? What did he have? We don't know why Trump gave in. But that's the key to all of this.
No, it is the key to all of this, and we're never probably going to get those answers. And again, I understand the state of what Iran's government is like, what their regime is, and how they've acted and treated their own citizens for years, and the threat that they have imposed in certain parts of our history. There was no imminent threat, though, in this particular case. And at the same time, the United States did not act in good faith by being at the negotiating table and then going into the United States and bombing this country. And I'm never going to hold favor towards Iran based on how they've operated over the years. But we did not also operate in good faith in that moment. No matter what Netanyahu said to the president of the United States.
I'm going to jump in because I'm watching what Whiskey Pete is saying. He has gone back to lambasting the press, and it is the press's fault because the press seems like they don't know whose side they on, and they are being unpatriotic. And then he brought in Jesus again.
I see this, yes.
And saying that only, you know, the press only celebrates the downfall and the problems with Trump, whereas Jesus went into the synagogue and took the gnarled hand of the beggar. And I don't understand why we have to tie in religion to the war. We are not, well, we're not supposed to be a theocracy.
Right.
We are not supposed to have, but this is part of the white nationalist, white Christian nationalist movement. And we have somebody, and we're going to get, just hang on. We'll talk more about Whiskey Pete once we get into S You Need to Know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Yeah, time for some you need to know.
Yeah, let's. That's all right. Yeah, no, let's jump into it.
Yes, let's go, because we're already talking about Pete Hegseth.
Yeah. So House Democrats have filed articles of impeachment against our Secretary of Defense and pocket square-wearing flag man and Jesus lover Pete Hegseth. And I don't say that as a slam on people who love Jesus, but when you invoke Jesus' name in a way to justify war and killing and bombing a civilization out of existence, that I have a problem with.
I mean, this,
but that's me.
This isn't a religious war.
It's not supposed to be. So here's the story. Axios was the first to report this, but House Democrats unveiled articles of impeachment against Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth yesterday, making serious allegations about his handling not only of the war in Iran, but his leadership more broadly. The resolution was led by Representative Yasmin Ansari of Arizona. It lists six impeachment articles. Among them, unauthorized war against Iran and reckless endangerment of U.S. service members, violations of the law of armed conflict and targeting of civilians, negligence and reckless handling of sensitive military information, obstruction of congressional oversight, abuse of power, and politicalization of the armed forces, conduct bringing disrepute upon the U.S. and its armed forces. Now, everybody knows, okay, it's probably not going to go too far this year since the Republicans still have a majority. But the Democratic sponsors could, if things change after the midterms and the swearing in of a new Congress, pick these up. Again, it was a 7-page impeachment resolution. It claims Hegseth engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors, the constitutional basis for impeachment. It says he has, quote, demonstrated a willful disregard for the Constitution, abused the powers of his office, and acted in a manner grossly incompatible with the rule of law. That's serious business right there. The resolution also accuses Hegseth of failing to prevent the use of military force, quote, in a manner inconsistent with the law of armed conflict, pointing to civilian casualties, including the February 28th bombing of a girls' school in Iran that killed 168 people.
This isn't just about removing him from office. The Democrats are asking for accountability. And that's literally what they're asking for. And it's about putting serious allegations on the record and forcing everybody to acknowledge what this country actually needs and what our priorities are and what the priorities of the Department of Defense have been. And I mean, you're right. It's rightfully not going to go anywhere right now. We know this. But
it's on the table.
Yes.
And November is not that. It seems like November is really far away. November's not that far away. And if the trends continue, and this is just prognostication, if the trends continue, it looks like the Democrats will take over the majority.
Yes.
And then all bets are off for these guys. And I want to go back for a minute if I can.
Sure.
Well, I can.
Yeah,
it's our show.
It's your show. You do whatever you want.
We can do whatever we want. No, when I brought up the Jesus-loving thing as a criticism of Pete Hegseth, I want to clarify. I am infuriated by people, hypocrites who wrap themselves in Jesus as a cover for their ill deeds. Pete Hegseth has committed personal things that are well documented, horrible things. He, by all reports, not a great guy. We also know he has He has used his office to talk about no quarter, which is a war crime. He doesn't give off a godly or religious vibe. Everything he says is antithetical to the teachings of Christianity.
Yep.
And so when somebody like that wraps, it's like someone who wraps themselves in the flag. Someone who wraps themselves in religion is despicable, and they're a con man, and they're playing on people's faith, and they're preying on the most vulnerable among us, both financially, mentally, spiritually. They prey upon them and use God as a bludgeon to try to get their point across. And that is why I use that as a criticism of Pete Hegseth. It has nothing to do with people who are spiritual, people who are religious, people who follow either Christianity or Catholicism or Judaism or Muslim. I don't care. That's your personal belief. But don't you dare try to hide behind a religion to get your point across and justify your horrific acts. He's now saying that he prays that Iran makes the best decision. This is not a place for religion.
No.
This is a place for facts and strategy and diplomacy.
And when you look at what is being alleged in this impeachment document, right? I'm going to repeat it again. Unauthorized military action, civilian casualties, mishandling of sensitive information, obstructing oversight. Those aren't small claims, right? These go right to the core of how military power is used, or in this case, abused. And that is what the Democrats are trying to point out. And those are the things that this administration is going to eventually have to succumb to. They're going to have to be accountable, and they're going to have to show that they stood up and they agreed with these things that they are now implementing that have affected all of us and other countries in some sort of way. That's what's going to have to happen. And that's what's being laid out in this documentation.
Yeah, it's rough. And the politicalization of the military, we see it when he tried to silence Mark Kelly and everybody else who spoke out and just basically read the military code of ethics and said, you don't have to follow an unlawful order. And he accuses them of being unpatriotic and not supporting the president. And all of this, it all makes sense. What's surprising is it took this long, but it's now out there. We'll keep you posted as things go on from there.
Dick
is on the line, but we're going to finish headlines. But he's saying that Hegseth is guilty of war crimes, and so is Netanyahu. I can't disagree with you, Dick, and we appreciate the call. Sorry we can't get to it right now, but we do appreciate it. We have some other stuff we need to know, Jamie.
We do. In case you're one of those people who's been paying attention to ticket prices, because sometimes you like to not talk about politics and go do something fun, well, realize that this is happening because a jury found Live Nation and Ticketmaster operated as a monopoly in its dominance of the live events and ticketing industry, validating complaints that the industry giant was basically stifling competition and driving up fees for fans. That's because they have been. The verdict was reached following a lengthy trial in New York federal court that included testimony from top executives in the music and entertainment industries. Jurors started deliberating on Friday. Now, you're not going to see ticket prices or fees tacked on to their bill, your bills drop anytime soon because there's going to be a second trial.
to decide
what remedies are going to be warranted in this particular case. So in the meantime, go buy your tickets to all those summer concerts, and you're still going to have to pay all of the fees tacked on, unfortunately.
All right, we're gonna let a little steam off with Swiper's Stay. That's coming up next. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
It's 7:19. I'm Jamie Martinson. It's the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is time for Swiper Stay. This is where we leave the politics behind for a mere 7 minutes, and we dive into pop culture with our senior producer, Frank. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Much better today. But good. For Thank the goodness. There's an asterisk there, Jamie. Uh-oh. There may be one
okay.
politics story, okay. but don't worry. It also involves celebrities.
All right.
So.
We like that. Easy peasy.
It'll be fine. Anyway, this is Swipe or Stay. I'm going to read some vague pop culture headlines to Brian and Jamie. They're going to have to decide whether to stay and hear more or swipe on to the next one. Producer Parker gets to be the tiebreaker if it comes down to that. Here we go to story number one. Ice cream founders are fighting back.
Ooh.
Oh, I would like to hear that. I'm going to stay.
Ben Cohen, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, is officially fighting back.
The Free yes. Ben & Jerry's campaign is transforming Free Cone Day into Free the Cone Day. Ben & Jerry's has now become owned by the Magnum Corporation, who is in the process of destroying the heart and the soul of Ben & Jerry's. They're trying to neuter the social mission.
Whoa.
Neuter the social wow. mission, trying to destroy the heart and soul. I felt it was better coming from his own words instead yes. of me reading yeah. it off the statement. That's pretty powerful for somebody, because usually when you sell your company, and Ben & Jerry's is huge, right? We sure, all love yeah. it, right?
Come yeah. on.
It's awesome. Usually when you sell that, you go out, you retire, you lay low, you sit on the beach, and whatever happens, happens, right?
Sure.
Not these
Not
guys.
Ben Cohen.
Nope.
So he's calling on the public to raise their voice in support of their mission in hopes that someone who cares about social issues like the co-founders do will buy the company. Cohen and Greenfield sold the company to Unilever in 2000, with Greenfield leaving the company in 2025 after accusing Magnum of preventing them from posting on social media in support of Palestinian refugees, the First Amendment rights of student protesters, and a ceasefire in Gaza.
I just hope
yeah,
this
that
goes...
was, I mean, that was a cornerstone of Ben yeah. & Jerry's, was social activism and, yeah. and all of that. And it's good. If it's, maybe I'll go buy a pint today and just use that as an excuse. Why are you eating a pint of Ben & Jerry's? I'm standing up for liberty.
Freeing the cone.
Free the cone instead of Free Cone Day.
I just hope it goes better than Free Britney. That's all I'm saying.
I think everything goes better than okay. Free Britney. Do we have any favorite Ben & Jerry's flavors here?
Fish food.
Oh, my gosh.
Fish food.
Fish food's a popular one. Mm-hmm. Brian?
I'm trying to think. There's not many I don't like. I like the cookie dough one. I like the half and half one they brought out there where you get half cookie dough, half fudge brownie. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Cherry Garcia, I liked a lot.
I'm always a sucker for anything.
All right, Brian, I said choose one.
There's not. Listen, ice cream, you cannot. I worked at a Ben & Jerry's for a very short time when we first moved to California, and it was a great job except for my waistline. Because
yeah.
there's always, and I had to make the cookie sandwiches. We'll talk about it another time.
I'm always a sucker for anything with swirly, gooey caramel in it. So that's.
Feel free to comment or text out there what your favorite Ben & Jerry's flavor is. We'd love to hear it. All right, moving on to story number two.
All right.
I know we briefly touched on this story yesterday, but we do have an update. I promise. Guy Fieri has been called out yet again.
Oh. All right. Okay, yeah, I'm all for this blasting Guy Fieri.
So we talked about this yesterday. If you don't know, he was seen dapping up the Tate brothers at a UFC event, and the internet got pissed off. The Tate brothers are under criminal investigation in multiple countries, including the UK, where they face charges of rape and human trafficking as part of a total of 21 alleged offenses. So everybody's up in arms at Guy Fieri.
Well, yeah, they're disgusting humans.
They're awful people, right? Allegedly. Here's the thing. Guy Fieri walked all of it back saying, I feel awful. I had no idea who these people were. Well, the Tate brothers lawyer has come out and reached out to TMZ to say that Guy Fieri knew exactly who the brothers are.
Yes, of course
he
did.
was all too happy to catch up with them. Until, and I'm quote, this is a quote, until the woke mob came after him.
Never mind.
People who don't like alleged rapists and child and human traffickers.
Let's just remember that
like
Epstein was alleged too, folks. So there's that.
Sure. And our president has convictions for sexual assault. So
also alleged.
Not the conviction one.
No, there's some convictions. There's some convictions, yes.
There's some convictions. All right. Well, Guy Fieri, forget it. Go, as I said yesterday, go back to Flavortown. Story three.
Former reality star gets big endorsement in Los Angeles mayoral race.
Oh, I know this story. I can't even believe this is a thing. Stay, just because it's so stupid. And it shouldn't be a thing.
Now that Jamie is so worked up about it, I feel like I should stay.
I have too many bees
to,
in my bonnet this morning.
I know. I'm going to swipe. Parker?
I want something a little less bee in the bonnet. I'm going to go a swipe.
That's fair. Right. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for saving me for myself.
Yeah. Rock star actress hospitalized while on tour with AC/DC.
They still tour? Isn't
Somebody
there only one of them
all
left?
All night long. I'll stay.
Taylor Momsen, former actress and lead singer of the band The Pretty Reckless, has been hospitalized for a spider bite in Mexico.
Wow.
The Pretty Reckless
is
vocalist.
Is that code for something, Craig?
Nope, that is venomous spider. She took to Instagram and shared a photo of her leg where the bite occurred, and it's pretty gnarly. Go look it up. She said, hospital today, show tomorrow. Poisonous spiders are no bueno.
Holy buckets.
But the show must go on. See you tomorrow, Mexico City. If
what
you don't,
was she an actress in?
Did you ever see the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Yeah.
With Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
She's Cindy Lou Who.
Really?
Huh. She is now on tour with AC/DC.
Wow.
Right on.
Okay.
She was also in Gossip Girl, one of Brian's favorite shows, and Parker's. Okay. That's it for Swipe or Stay today.
Thank you, Frank. Always
You're
a pleasure.
Welcome.
Boy, the more you know, I guess. It's fascinating. Well, we've got all kinds of things. We're going to talk to Mace Michaels next about the weather here on Daybreak on the Civic Media.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. If you're in Wisconsin Rapids, listening on WFHR, or in Hayward on WBZH, or in Appleton and Oshkosh, listening on WISS, we are glad that you decided to join us today. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. As you know, Wisconsin has been hit all week with severe weather. And to help us figure out what's going to come, what we've been through, what the damage has been, Mace Michaels joins us now. He's meteorologist at the Severe Studios Radio Network. Mace, welcome back. Thanks for coming on this morning because, as you know, it's been a rough week for a lot of people in Wisconsin. Before we get into what's been happening, can we look ahead? Is there any reprieve in sight?
Yes, pattern shift coming as we look at the end of the week. What you might not like is it's going to bring quite a shot of cold air on the weekend, but yes, we will get a break from what's been happening. There could be one more round of some stronger storms. That would be on Friday as the sharp front moves through. It wouldn't be a long-lasting thing. It seems like these storms have been going on. You know, we get several hours of them before they finally clear out. This will probably be just one shot along a cold front. But again, Friday, there could be some pretty hefty storms once again.
So let's talk about what we've been seeing across the state over the last few days. What made these back-to-back storms so intense this time around? And you mentioned that the storms just kind of kept going. What was the cause for that?
Right. The setup is kind of rare for this time of year where we have multiple lows coming up. So, of course, we had a low on Monday, and then that was followed by a low again last night. And usually there's a little bit of a break in between, especially this time of year as you transition out of winter and into the spring months. You get one big old strong low. The thing moves through. It sometimes takes a while, but then it's gone. In this type of case, we've actually had, of course, multiple systems, and it's still kind of, it's almost the summer setup where we've had a front just dangling here. It hasn't moved. So the first low moved up along the front, produced the showers and storms, the severe weather, heavy rainfall. That low moved away. The front is still here. It didn't move much. The second low moved up along it. Same type of situation, just slightly further south. Several areas of showers and thunderstorms, many of them severe once again, since the dynamics of the atmosphere really didn't change overall. The front's still here, and it's still helping to fire off more storms as each low's kind of moved along it.
Mace, is it common for this storm. These storm systems stretched from Louisiana all the way up to northern Wisconsin. Is that normal? Is that a change that you've been seeing over the last few years, that it's basically taking out a whole swath of the country at one time?
A strong system, it's not as surprising. It's just surprising to me that it's a little more here in April. We see the big squall line sometimes later into May and June, systems that traverse the whole country. Usually in April, it's a low that starts to the south and then moves northeastward, and then it does its thing and it moves off, but it's not affecting everybody at once. Kind of rare to have a big front sweeping through a good chunk of the country this early in the season. Usually it's pinpointed a little more.
Along with the flooding, we've heard about multiple tornadoes throughout the state, too, including an EF2 that was in Lisbon. You mentioned how unusual this weather pattern is, but a tornado that was an EF2 in Lisbon, I know how rare that is, but I would love for you to explain exactly how rare that is for folks who don't understand the weather patterns.
And I think one was even an EF3 up into Vernon County?
Yep, Juneau County. That's where a house was leveled by that potential EF3 storm.
Right, right. So that's the type of stuff that, yes, happens in April. We do see it. But the last time I believe there was an EF3 in the state was 5-6 years ago. And it was more typical timing, May, June. April storms, when they get developed, they can be very strong. But it's, again, a rarity. I'll say it once again. It's a rarity that we see EF3s here in June, let alone that EF3s happen that often. Again, 5 years here in Wisconsin. Yes, we see that more often in Texas and Kansas and Oklahoma. They have a lot bigger area, though, especially in western Texas, for that to happen, and more typical dynamics. So this far north, EF3 in the season, it's a very strong jet stream to do that.
We're talking to Mace Michaels, meteorologist for the Severe Studios Radio Network. He's been with us before, and we're happy to have him back again today because it has been nuts. Hey, are we seeing? I know Wisconsin does get, as you said, smaller tornadoes during the summer months normally. Are we seeing the tornado alley kind of shifting? Because it used to be, when you heard about tornadoes before, there'd be a few in Illinois and a couple in Wisconsin here and there. But it was mostly, you know, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, that area. And now it seems like they're moving more and more again, like the storms, out of that original region.
There's been maybe a little bit of a northward lift. Overall, though, it's really hasn't. We've seen season by season. It's probably a better way to put it. Okay. That things have kind of wobbled and changed. Probably in the last 10 to 15 years, it's been more what we call the Dixie type thunderstorms. A lot more in the way of tornadoes further south there, especially earlier in the season. Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, instead of Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Southern Illinois. But yes, for this year, it's shifted a little further north. And when I lived in Michigan, in lower Michigan, we would see April severe weather. So it's not that surprising. It's just not something that we see as often year to year that we've been seeing a little more as of late. It would happen occasionally one year. Oh, this is the year we're going to see a little more severe weather. And then it'd be quiet the next 3, 5, 6 years.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you mentioned those Dixie storms. I mean, it's not out of the question with those Dixie Alley tornadoes to even see like an early January outbreak. There's been times when right around New Year's, people doing the storm chasing thing like Corey and I do. We've had chasers dispatch on New Year's Day to get into to position for Dixie Alley. So, obviously, it's just something to point out as people, if you are a weather enthusiast and want to watch those things. Is there anything that we can garner? Because I know it's weather. I know Mother Nature is fickle, Mace. Is there anything we can garner from what's to come for this particular weather season based on what Wisconsin has already seen this early in April?
Looking at just the way the pattern has been coming out of winter and then here on into April, and there's a couple of pretty good models. At least they give you the trend. There's one model that actually goes out giving weather information month to month that at least I can look at. I'm sure there are others that the National Weather Service and that are in the experimental range with some of the new AI models and things like that that they have that go out that far. But there's one that I reliably can take a look at day to day. And the trend and the pattern hasn't changed. You can't rely on it to say three weeks that front is going to be there. But it shows you that it's just going to be a very active month, and that is expected to continue on and off systems moving through. Maybe not this intense, but we are just going to be in a very, I don't want to say volatile because that sounds way too damaging, but just a very active jet stream that's going to bring systems through every couple of days instead of a big old high setting up and then a weaker system with gentler rain. This may be just a little more active period we're in right now, at least until sometime into the early part of May.
Mace, anytime it rains for a couple days, people are thinking, oh, we're getting so much rain, so much rain. When we look at March and into April now, where are we rainfall-wise? Are we above normal? Are we in good shape now, or are we still? Because a lot of the country's under a drought, but Wisconsin seems to be getting a lot of water.
Yeah, looking spot to spot, that kind of varies. I have not checked the drought monitor. While we're chatting, I'll pull it up. But I think we've definitely seen improvement. It was, scattered as it always is during the winter months to who sees most. Yeah, the only a little area still in a drought is far northwest Wisconsin and northern Minnesota here across the upper Midwest. Michigan looks good. The rest of Wisconsin good. Most of Iowa pretty good. That'll be great for the crops. You have to head back further in Nebraska and South Dakota where they're still dealing with pretty significant drought conditions. So much better, much better.
That's good. That's good to hear, of course. But here in Wisconsin, you mentioned that there's more volatile weather coming throughout the month of April. What happens to our flooded areas? Because we've got roads that have washed out. We have dams that are backing up. What are you seeing as far as your analysis that would tell us exactly how bad this flooding situation is in portions of the state?
Yeah, we just need a break for a few days of where we're not getting continual rain over saturated soil. And we've got the break today. That'll be nice. But coming back at us again tomorrow will be that front with stronger showers and storms. We quiet down at least through the weekend. It looks like it'll be colder and maybe even early next week ends up giving us a few more days to dry out. So that would be the hope that everything, obviously, many soils still in northern Wisconsin, you more than likely closer, especially to the Michigan line and Lake Superior, still probably frozen ground and just are starting to thaw out. So that can cause runoff problems, obviously, as well. So you've got kind of twofold. Up north, they've had flood watches due to that. Here, we've had it just because of so much rain. It looks like we are going to go into a little drier period, though, at least through the first half of next week.
Well, that'll be good. So just to kind of recap what you were saying, Mace, and correct me if I'm wrong, please. So we're going to get a little reprieve today. Storms again on Friday, and then cooler, but at least dry for the next few days.
Right. Friday storms could once again be a strong to severe. Then a much cooler weekend. It starts to warm back up early next week, but it stays dry. We stay dry at least through to about Tuesday, Wednesday. I think Wednesday another front will move through and kick up another round of storms. But that looks like the one we're expecting for tomorrow, one shot, it wouldn't last for a longer period. And that's more typical this time of year. One shot and it's gone.
Perfect. Well, Mace, thank you very much for joining us again. We appreciate all the information and we'll keep you on speed dial for because it doesn't seems like the summer is going to be another roller coaster for weather here.
Yeah, until we break this busy pattern, it will be for a while. Yes.
Well, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
We've got Chad commenting over on our Facebook page. I love this comment. The weather is a hellscape, says Chad.
Yeah, why should the weather be any different? Why should the weather be any different? Yeah, that was, and thanks again to Mace Michaels, meteorologist at Severe Studios Radio Network, for joining us. We'd like to hear from you. No matter what, if you're a farmer, how is this affecting your planting season? Because I'm guessing if you're in these areas where the rain is, can't really get the machinery out in a flooded field.
This,
we know that.
This seems to be a very concentrated area as well, because when we talk to our civic media reporters in the Northwoods, they aren't experiencing this type of weather. When we talk to our reporter over in Eau Claire, they're not experiencing this type of weather. What we are seeing is this line from basically Green Bay into Milwaukee and affecting that portion, which is why you're getting the dam warnings, because there are dams that are at
their
there's evacuations that are happening because these dam warnings are coming to from a place where they essentially can't hold back this flood water anymore. And I think it's going to be precarious, I think, over the next few days, because some of these rivers, I'm going to also point out, have not crested yet.
Correct.
So
they are not cresting. And to give everybody your little rhyme again, because the water doesn't just stay on the along the banks of the rivers. It goes onto roads, and people think they can drive through it.
Turn around, don't drown. That is how you stay safe when you're a storm chaser, by the way.
That's what we say to people who go to listen to other shows. We say, no, come back, turn That's around, it. Don't drown. Jamie found this story about babies and emails, and man, I feel old. We'll get to all of that and so much more. It is Daybreak, and this is the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. And I know I will admit to being on the older side of the demographic. I will also admit to sometimes being a little, I don't know, out of touch. not really, but when it comes to parenting, I'm, you know, my daughter's grown.
Sure.
So when I think babies, I don't think emails and phones and gaming systems. I think, oh, they're babies. Let's teach them to talk.
Yeah.
And let's do all kinds of things. And then, Jamie, you send this story, and I'm like, what has the world come to?
I just found this story intriguing because, I'm kind of in the same vein as you are. You know, I'm thinking when there's babies around, I'm thinking bottles and the diapers and the toys and the cuteness and the giggles and all of that good stuff.
And the sleepless nights and the nonstop
and the poopy
screaming.
And all of that. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. But this story is actually kind of crazy because it turns out, Brian, that kids need email earlier than they ever have before.
Who is an infant going to email? And
I'm
going to be honest, infants, I love them. They're not that bright. They're not typing.
No, they're really not.
They're amazed but just seeing their hand.
They see a light, and it's the most incredible thing they've ever seen. But school apps, games, and messaging tools all ask for an email address long before our kids even understand what privacy is or how their data can be misused. About 43% of children under the age of 18 have their own personal email addresses, according to a recent Proton survey. And for a lot of people, that childhood inbox becomes the one they carry into adulthood, their first and most enduring digital marker forever.
Okay. You say digital marker, I rhyme it with Parker, and I say to our young producer, You're the youngest of the group. When did you get, at what age did you get your first email address?
Oh, gosh. I was probably in middle school.
Okay.
Probably early.
And what did you need it for?
I have no recollection. I don't remember. It was probably for some kind of, like, games.
Sure.
I have a feeling it was probably for the PlayStation account, but I'm not positive.
Oh.
Okay, that would make sense. My kids were a little bit younger when they got their first email address, only because we homeschooled, and the first couple of years of homeschooling, they did it through an academy where they had a teacher, and they went to daily classes online and things like that. My mom got her feet wet into the homeschooling world. I needed a little backup. So they were probably in early elementary because they had to log on with a school-accessed email account to actually get into their classes. Now, with that being said, the caveat to that was that email address was made under my email address. So I had total control over it, so I could see when they were logging in, what they were logging into, who was emailing them, and all of that. But my kids probably had their first email addresses in early elementary school because of homeschooling. But a lot of our children who already have email addresses are using Gmail, like I think
well,
a lot of us.
Hip, yeah.
Right. About 74% of kids already have Gmail addresses.
What, are they going to do AOL? Stop it.
I got an AOL email the other day from somebody, and it was a legit email, and I was
and
like,
"Did you immediately judge them and discard
yes,
the email?"
Yes, I did.
Because
I did.
They're not with the program.
I thought it was crazy, but systems assume data should be collected first and protected later, even when the user is a kid, and because most people keep the same email for years. Sometimes even decades, that first inbox becomes the foundation to their online identity, and that shapes what's tracked, what's inferred, and how they're categorized. Now, ProtonMail now lets parents reserve a private email address for their kids, which offers a more protected start to their online footprint. It's called the Born Private Campaign, Brian. And mainstream email services routinely insert tracking pixels into messages. They collect the metadata, they analyze behavior, and they use the inbox activity to really refine the advertising systems or train AI models. You know how when you're having a conversation about needing some new underwear, and all of a sudden your algorithm picks up and all you get is underwear commercials? Ads?
Yes,
that's
and
why.
It terrifies me every time. Every time.
That's why that's happening. So ProtonMail is essentially built on a simple belief. Privacy is a fundamental right. It's not a trade-off. And your inbox, as well as your kids, should protect private information by default, not scan it or profit from it. So ProtonMail accounts use end-to-end and zero-access encryption, as well as advanced phishing and spam protections, which means Proton can't read or scan your messages, your child's interests aren't turned into marketing data, and threats and annoyances are stopped before they actually reach you or your kid. But
I got to get one of these.
ProtonMail is actually pretty cool. But yes, you can now reserve your child's email address so that they have that digital footprint for the rest of their life, because just like everything else, we need to start them really young.
Wow. Parker, you should start setting up some accounts for your future
children.
That's
right. You should.
I mean, I'll probably have to pick a name already then.
Amish Boy 1 and Amish Girl 1. That would be so. In case,
you're onto it, Brian.
You don't know who it is. And then when your kid gets to be in high school, like, I don't want to be Amish Girl 1 anymore, Dad.
We're not even
Sorry.
Amish.
All I see
We're
is
not
this,
even Amish, and I don't have a beard.
All I see is this little tiny girl with long blonde hair right now, and Parker's face with a beard. That's all that I can see in my head right now. Wow.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Good morning.
Maybe I'll start one for my imaginary baby. I'll catfish.
I don't know, but here's
with
the
other
thing.
Protoners.
Here's the thing with Proton email. Adults can get these too, and I think if you're tired
of
the ads, and I think you're tired of the metadata and the encryption and the AI tools, that ProtonMail might be something you want to check out, because it definitely protects your privacy more than something like a Gmail is going to.
So maybe when I do finally go off the grid, this will be my one lifeline.
There you
go. I give me a Proton account.
There you go.
End-to-end encrypted, which sounds very super secret and spy level. I like that. That might be what we have to do.
There you go.
All right. Well, listen, we've got more to come in the third hour. If you're listening on WMDX here in Madison, see you. Don't let the door hit you. We'd love for you to stay, though. You can always listen on the Civic Media app. You can come over to the stream. But if you're leaving, enjoy the Stephanie Miller Show. The rest of you, you'll stay with us, and you'll mock the people who left for making a bad listening decision, because they should have stayed right here with Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.